Let's pray. Father, as we come to study your word this morning, we pray that just you would reveal what you want to reveal through it to us today, but trusting in you. Be with us, Lord, and help us to understand it together. In Jesus' name, amen. Most of us will be familiar with the story of David and Goliath. It's truly the story of one of the greatest victories in all of Scripture. David, the young shepherd boy, stands face to face with a giant, and he wins. It's a kind of story, I suppose, that we all like to hear, isn't it? It's a classic story of the underdog. It's like small business being wronged by a large business, taking them on in court and coming out as victors. In the football world, it's like Corian taking on Real Madrid and Corian coming out on top. And I know some of you think that could happen the way they're playing at the minute. It would be like me recording a pop song in my bedroom and going up against a big band with a big budget and a big management company, and I can't sing, and the person who recorded the song, me in their own bedroom, getting to number one ahead of the big band. It's such a big occasion. We all face challenges, situations or giants in our lives each day that taunt us or that we battle with continually. As we go through life and all the battles we experience, it can sometimes seem that everyone we know will be keen to give us their take on it, their advice on how to deal with it. I came across this article on the internet entitled Wise Advice from Kids. Now, any of us have kids know you get a lot of wise advice. I'm going to read you a few of them. Never trust the dog to watch your food. When your dad is mad and asks you, "Do I look stupid?" don't answer him. Never tell your mum her diet's not working. When your mum is mad at your dad, don't let her brush your hair. Never hold a vacuum cleaner and a cat at the same time. You have to think about that one a wee bit. If you want your parents to buy a kitten, start off by asking for a horse. Permanent markers are not good to use as lipstick. And I like this one. When you get a bad report from school, show it to your mum when she's on the phone. No one is better at giving advice to others than children. And it's like that for us too. It's easier for us to give advice to others than it is to deal with situations we're going through ourselves. It appears that these kids I've talked about here have learned valuable lessons about life. Life experiences they're keen to share. And this morning, from this passage, I think we too can learn some valuable lessons about life. As we look at the battle between David and Goliath, we want to explore who the battle was really between and how we can apply that in our lives. There's a book by a man called, and this is a hard name for me to say, Louis Giglio, called Goliath Must Fall, Winning the Battle Against Your Giants. In the book, the author tells how we can become demoralized or defeated when confronted with some of the giants we face in our lives. Giants in the form of things like rejection or fear or anger or even addiction. This book helps us to consider in our personal walk with God, as we go through something, who is in control of that situation? And who are you and I going through that situation with? Today, as we look at some verses from 1 Samuel 17, we want to consider how we pray, why we pray, and who we turn to when we face challenging situations in our lives. I want us to look at three things which we can see in the passage we read. They're on the screen. God goes before us, God fights for us, and God gives us victory. Firstly then, God goes before us. If there was a verse that really introduced this to this passage, it would be back in 1 Samuel 14, verse 52. I'll read it for you. All the days of Saul, there was a bitter war with the Philistines. And whenever Saul saw a mighty or brave man, he took him into his service. But it would seem, when we reach this part of the story we're looking at today, that the bravery and courage had all disappeared. We are introduced to this man, Goliath. We are told in verse 9, he's a champion. John Woodside, in his commentary, tells us this word champion literally translates as the man in between. In other words, this man has a reputation of being a fighter and a winner. Goliath was a really imposing figure. He was over 9 feet tall, but it wasn't only his size that was overwhelming. His body armor was from head to toe. It was made of bronze and it could have weighed in total as much as 80 kilograms. He had a giant javelin strapped to his back, plus he had a personal shield bearer to go in front of him. Just the sheer look of him, how the Israelite army, believing that they couldn't win. They couldn't win a battle against him. In verse 16, we're told that for 40 days, every morning and evening, Goliath would march towards the Israelite army, taunting them with his size and his strength, daring someone to take him on. There is no doubt this would have been an intimidating experience, and it's obvious that the Israelites were intimidated, as not one of them from their ranks wanted to take Goliath on. In fact, verse 24 tells us that when the Israelites saw Goliath coming, they ran in fear. But then it's the same for us, isn't it? Our giants aren't in the form of a one-to-one fight with a soldier. But our giants or challenging situations we face are still intimidating. That's why we call them giants, I suppose, because they're bigger than we are. That's how it is with the giants of fear and worry, for example. They don't just come once. They come every morning, every evening. They keep coming day after day, relentlessly trying to intimidate us. They may come in the form of a situation or a person or just in our minds. In fact, few things are more intimidating than our fears and our worries, especially when we try to face them in our own strength. When the battle comes, when the giants are at the door, we are usually intimidated. We go into full retreat. We focus on the odds that seem to be so vastly against us. We see the glass half empty, or as I sometimes am guilty of doing, completely empty. And we forget to pray. We forget who our Saviour is. And we stand there with our knees knocking. Back to our story. In the midst of all this confusion, all that is going on with Goliath, taunting the Israeli army, and Saul, David arrives on the scene. David was a fearless young man. Earlier in the book of 1 Samuel, in chapter 16, one of Saul's advisors describes David as a brave man and a warrior. A man who speaks well and who the Lord is with. In other words, just as Goliath had a reputation, David too had a reputation as a brave man and warrior. God had been preparing David for what lay ahead. And in verse 32, it is David who says to Saul, "Let no man lose heart on account of this Philistine. I will go ahead and fight him." And Saul can't believe it. He immediately takes up his offer. He thinks this is a great idea. Finally, someone wants to stand up to Goliath. But then Saul takes a look at David and he says to him, "You can't go up against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a young man. And Goliath has been a warrior since his youth." But the wonderful thing that we are told in Scripture is back in verse 7 of 1 Samuel 16, that God does not judge people the way we judge people. God does not look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Verse 17, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not consider his appearance and height, for I have rejected him.'" The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. While Saul saw this young man standing before him, going up against the hardened warrior in Goliath, God saw it the other way. God saw it as David the warrior going up against the man Goliath. David's confidence was in God, that God was with him. Saul was focusing on the giant Goliath, but David's eyes weren't on the giant. Intimidation played no part in David's life. He may have appeared to others and to Goliath to be like a little ant standing before an elephant, but David wasn't listening to the others. David's trust was in the Lord. In verse 45, he tells Goliath, "You come here against me with sword and spear and javelin. I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defied." You see, this was the secret to David's life. The battle was the Lord's. Each of us need to stop fearing the devil and sin and rather be on the lookout, because the battle is the Lord's. Be you and I are fighting, trying to fight our own battles, trying to fight our battles our way. Are we trying to outsmart the enemy? Because we can't do it on our own power, but we can do it through God's power. Another lesson we can learn from this story is that as well as going before us in the battle, God fights for us in the battle. God fights for us. David knew that going out to fight Goliath would go on to be a lonely experience. But here's what he says to Saul in verses 34 and 35. Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it and rescued it from the mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hands of this Philistine. So after hearing this, what David had to say to Saul, Saul changes his mind and he says to David, go and the Lord be with you. See, David knew that he wouldn't be going into the battle alone, that God would be with him. David knew what it was like to fight, to come up against incredible odds, and every time he had fought something, he had stored up in his victory, his heart, the victory he had won. Not only had he stored up in his heart the victory he had won, though, but also who fought for him. Every single time, the Lord had fought for him. See, no one else can fight your fight, and no one else can fight my fight. Someone might say to you, ah, what you're facing is nothing. Don't worry about that. That's easy. You can deal with that. But to you, or to me, what we're facing is overwhelming. It's like facing a giant like Goliath. Nobody else can do battle for us. We can ask a friend for help, or maybe we can ask our minister for support. But ultimately, it's us who has to fight our battles. And it can be lonely. But it's only at that point, on a lonely battlefield, that we learn to trust God. That we learn that we are not alone, that God is with us, and God is fighting for us, if we put our trust in him through the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though David tells Saul that the Lord is with him, that the battle is the Lord's, Saul insists in giving him all his armor to wear. Saul dresses David in his own tunic. He puts his coat of armor on him. He gives David his helmet, and he gives David his sword to fight with. And David puts it all on, and he tries to walk a few steps, and he thinks, I can't fight in this. This is no good to me. So he takes it all off again. I wonder how often you and I try to fight things like fear and worry or other giants in our lives with the wrong equipment. We are going through something and be taking the things that we think will help us to get through that situation. Maybe we think that by throwing money at a situation, we will be able to buy our way out of a problem. Perhaps we think that if we study hard and get a good education, that will get us through whatever we are facing. Maybe we think that by using strong words and physical actions, that will give us victory in what we're going through. And we can think all these things, when all along, just like when God, when he was asking David to come to him and lead him through the battle, God asks us to come to him too, to surrender ourselves and to surrender our situation we are facing over to him. See, the whole story is that we should go through the whole battle on our knees. All our situations on our knees in prayer. We need to turn everything we are facing over to the Lord in prayer. So then David lifts the staff in his hand. He chooses 5 stones, puts them in his pouch of his shepherd's bag, and then with a sling in his hand, he starts to approach Goliath. He approaches Goliath with the things that God wanted him to take into battle. What do you and I choose when we are going into a battle to take with us? Do we use the right equipment, the things that the Lord wants us to take into battle? I know I'm as guilty as anybody because there's lots of times when I think I know best. I think to myself, I don't really need to ask God about this. I can deal with this myself. I think I can just talk my way out of the situation I'm in or do something wonderful to get out of it. But yet God longs for us to come to him, to talk to him, to tell him what we're going through and hand it all over to him in prayer, to let God equip us for the battle we're facing, whatever that battle may be. God goes before us in the battle. God fights for us in the battle. And thirdly, God gives us the victory. God gives us the victory. David goes to face Goliath, and he brings that giant Goliath down with the first stone. His aim was true. He didn't miss his mark. It appears he wasn't nervous and was stabilized by his trust in God. For 40 days, the Israelite army has faced off against Goliath, and all of a sudden, in a few seconds, there was victory. And that can be the same in our lives, something we've been battling with for years, that if one second, God can do what we've been unable to do on our own for years. In a second, God can do what we've been able to do on our own for years. David went into the battle in the name of the Lord. David prayed that the Lord would deliver the Philistine army into his hands. David wanted the Lord to be honoured by what he'd done. He wanted the whole world to know there's a God in Israel, that the battle belonged to the Lord. Let's look at verse 51 briefly. This is a part of the story that we probably don't often look at. Verse 51, David ran and stood over Goliath. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it out from the sheath. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. Now, this is not part of the story I mention when I'm telling the story to the children. I prefer to leave the story with a nice, clean ending. As soon as Goliath goes down with the stone, I stop there. I suppose it's like a kid's book or film, where somebody gets killed, there's no guts, no gore, nothing scary. But why does the story of Goliath falling not stop there? Why does Scripture not stop at this point? I believe it was for this reason. The Israelites needed to know that Goliath was really dead. They needed to know that he wasn't just stunned, he wasn't just knocked unconscious. The Israelites needed to know it was over, that victory over the enemy was secure. So in those seconds, when David cut off Goliath's head and holds it up to the crowd, the Philistines saw what had happened. They were afraid and they turned and ran away. And when the Israelite army see this, they get courage and they give chase and become brave. If you and I are dealing with a situation in our lives, there comes a point when you've defeated it through God that there has to be a total cut-off point. If you're facing the giant of jealousy, for example, you have to ask God to take away those thoughts and then not keep going back to them, not keep dwelling on them. If it's a problem at work, for example, you have to deal with it, move on from it, having turned it over to the Lord, and not keep coming back to it. We're all often guilty of remembering the exact details of when something goes badly for us, but sometimes we find it hard to name the specific remarkable victories that God has pulled off in our lives. Each and every one of us here this morning faces battles in our lives. And as we read the story of David and Goliath, we are told that the Israelites were dismayed and afraid when they were facing their particular battle. My own giants I face most would be fear and worry about what could happen or go wrong, and rejection, a lack of confidence in a person, leaving me in doubt about everything I do. These are battles I've been having my whole life. Two areas I've always struggled with. In battles like these, what you need to do and what I need to do and what each of us need to do with whatever battles or giants we're facing is fight the battle on our knees in prayer, praying that God would give us the victory. You and I need to think about whose voice we're listening to. Are you and I listening to our own fears and doubts, or are we listening to the voice of the Lord directing our path? Each of us needs to come to the God in prayer and name what it is in our lives, name our battles to him, what Goliaths we're facing. That's what we need to do, and then we will have that reassurance and confidence that the Lord will be with us in the battle, leading us. God will be there fighting for us. He will go before us. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, in the passage that we read a few minutes ago and that I mentioned with the kids, Paul tells us of the armour that God wants us to wear in our battle against these giants. Johnny talked about this last week too. Each and every day, at the start of each day, we need to put on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the feet fitted with the gospel, the helmet of salvation, and the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. And then what we need to do is pray. Pray on all occasions, because we will feel like the odds are stacked against us. Maybe you've been fighting these battles on your own because you have not yet put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. David defeating Goliath points us to the greatest victory. Jesus defeating death and sin on the cross. David became Israel's champion, the man in between we talked about earlier, the true Israelite It is David who takes a stand against the Philistines and their enemies. The future of the Israelites hung heavily on David's shoulders as he walked out to face Goliath. And in the same way, on the cross, Jesus was our champion, our man in between. Jesus stood between us and judgment, between us and death. Judgment and death bore down heavy on him and on us like a violent force, but on the cross, Jesus bore the full force of their fury. Like David, Jesus was chosen by God, the man to be the man in between, to defeat death and kill it and give us the victory. Maybe you've been fighting the battle on your own for a long time. Jesus stands before you today and invites you to put your trust in him, to follow him, to make him the Lord and Savior of your life. Jesus says today, no matter what you're going through, I'm here with you and I will lead you through it, just as God led David when he put his trust in God. In David Giglio's book I mentioned earlier, he said that when we read the story of David and Goliath, we so often put ourselves in the story as David, when in fact, it's God who is David in the story. The one who goes before us, the one who fights for us, and the one who gives us the victory. The one who loves us with everlasting love and will never leave us or forsake us. David had victory that day because he put his trust in the one who went before him and who would battle for him day in, day out. God invites you and I to go into our battles with the one who goes before us and fights for us, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know what each of us here this morning are going through. You know the battles and situations we are facing in each of our lives. Help us to put our trust in you. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, your one and only Son, who you sent to die for us. To die for us that our sins would be taken away. Help us to put our trust in you, only in you, and pray to you as we face our battles each day. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We'll stand to sing our final hymn. O Church, arise and put your